Pecker on Darren, Donick, and Jace here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. We head east. We're a little bit earlier than normal. Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, is filling in on the midday show this week, so he'll be on the air in his normal slot, time slot of high noon with us. Vince, how was your weekend?
It was very good. Obviously, we had live sports, so that made it even nicer. And, you know, got a lot done this weekend, too. So and weather was nice. So, yeah, it was outstanding. Hope you guys had a good one, too.
Wow. Sounds like you put some check marks in some boxes this weekend. Good. Very good. I said maybe a blasphemous thing right before we came to you at the end of the last segment. I said that I felt like the last two episodes, and I think Willie said he agreed. I think. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I thought the last two episodes were my least favorite of the 10. What did you make of 9 and 10 last night?
You know, it's interesting. That did cross my mind a little bit too. I think it's like, you know, it's ranking things that you love, so it's not a disrespect type of thing. You know, if you love, you know, fill in the blank food and your, you know, wings or whatever, and you, there's 5-6 different places you go to regularly, whoever comes in fifth or sixth doesn't mean that you didn't like it. It's just not quite to the amazing level of some of the other ones. I do think so. Maybe just because there wasn't quite as much of the emotional attachment with MJ. I thought it was emotional with Steve Kerr. I don't think people are talking about that enough. His storytelling in losing his father and how basketball helped him compartmentalize, and then the story through the championship and the connection, the backstory of the fight with Jordan in practice, and how, it, you know, in the end they joked about it and celebrated another championship because of how well, how clutch he was in the playoffs, and he was for multiple years. So I that was one of the more enjoyable parts of it. It was obviously so good. And just like with every show, I've taken pages of notes from all of those, but because it was more basketball related, it maybe didn't have as many shocking moments. And they also, the director said that they just finished it on Thursday. So he hadn't admitted, I don't think, that they rushed through it. But I wonder if that may
interesting.
Have. Interesting. Yeah, he told Scott Van Pelt that they just finished episode 10 on Thursday. So I wonder if that kind of was a factor as well.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, and I didn't really factor that in. And now that you say it, that probably does make sense for, you know, well, and you too. I mean, the three of us lived the Jordan era. I mean, we, you know, we weren't babies. We weren't kids. Chase was much, much younger, and we lived it. So, I mean, I don't really, you know, other than I already admitted, Willie and I both said the same thing without coordinating that before the show. We both, with this new angle, I mean, for years, you know, I've been accusing Brian Russell of being pushed off by Jordan, and after watching the episode last night, that was the right call, a no call. That was not a foul. And so that's the first time I've ever felt that way. But, you know, as for seeing, you know, the games, I mean, I watched them. I mean, I lived them. So I want to know the behind-the-scenes stuff. I want to know the stuff that I didn't know. And maybe that's a good point. Maybe that's why I didn't enjoy it as much. It was a lot more really basketball-on-the-court stuff. You're right. I did like the Steve. See, I do. That's what I want. Give me the Steve Kerr story. I didn't know that story. That's fantastic. I was definitely intrigued by that, but maybe that's a good point. Maybe there's just too much basketball in there, which, you know, we lived. We were adults then.
Absolutely. And we knew about Dennis Rodman. That was just spectacular to live that part of it, and him leaving to go be a part of the NWO and the WCW and do his thing, and then be welcomed back afterwards because of how Phil Jackson treated him. And
well, kind of. I kind of felt like Phil was ticked, though.
he was mad, but then obviously he no one reeled him in and could work around him like Phil Jackson.
Agreed. Yeah. By the way, and that's what I want to see. I want to see Dennis Rodman sneaking out of the United Center, right? Like, I want to see that. That's what I want to see, him running into the back hallways as the media is chasing him to his car. I mean, that's what I want. I love that. Really cool deal. Mother's Day was last weekend, and we're an ESPN affiliate here at 102.5 The Game, and I just thought it was a really cool story. I couldn't wait to bring it up to you today. But to see ESPN get Jordan Bone and his mom together, I guess in her living room, and mm-hmm. surprise them with, you know, his graduation, and Rick Barnes get on there, and the new, I think it was the new chancellor? Yeah, I think the new chancellor get on there, and just a really cool moment because it meant so much for her to have Jordan Bone graduate. I mean, she lost it. It was fantastic. What a cool feature if nobody's seen it. Go back and check it out.
Absolutely. It was so well done. And this is another time, another example of during this period, you can find new ways to connect to your audience. And ESPN has done a very nice job, whether it's recognizing graduates, the seniors that didn't get to finish off their seasons, or, you know, a lot of people are doing a lot for high school seniors that are missing out on their final years. And now you're getting to see more of the human element stories. And Jordan Bone is a terrific kid. And, obviously it meant the world to his mom that he was finishing out, and kind of looked like she had a sneaking suspicion of what was going down before that. But when it is so special and you want that so badly, the emotions oftentimes will overcome you. And Jordan's reaction to his mom's emotion made it also just so well done for everybody. UT is really good at these kind of things. They did it. Remember, they did it with Viscovi's parents, surprising him when they came in and surprised him. I think it was a Florida game this year. So UT doing these kind of things to impact families is really good. And I'm glad I got to be on ESPN and he was shown to be the good kid that now is a graduate as well. I thought it was outstanding and consistent with what he is like as a guy.
We had John Robinson, Titans general manager, on right after the draft. You had John Robinson on your show when you were helping fill in. What did you learn from that interview?
Well, first, he's a big fan of 47 brand t-shirts because he was on NFL Live wearing a Quebec Nordiques mm-hmm. t-shirt. And I asked him about that, if there's a backstory. He just said, well, their t-shirts are the most comfortable. And the Nordiques had kind of Tennessee Titans-ish colors. And so he was bored one day and he bought it. He went with it and wore it on TV because that's what we do when we're working from home. So that was one little thing that was funny. I asked him about the backup quarterbacks and he said, look, we just, we thought, hey, it's time to find out whether Logan Woodside and now adding Cole McDonald, the rookie as well, if they can play. And he said, we'll see how it goes. And there's always going to be veteran quarterbacks out there if we need to go in that direction. So I thought that was interesting because if you look just on name, a lot of people would feel like that is one of the most unproven backup QB situations in the NFL with what the Titans have. Also talked about the veteran presence and the competition of Jonathan Joseph and wanting to bring him in to compete with those guys. They feel like that he can still run. Said he's more of an outside corner, but can play some in the slot. And as much as teams are in nickel and dime coverages in the NFL these days, that flexibility is big. Obviously asked him about Jadeveon Clowney, he laughed, and everybody asked him about Jadeveon Clowney, and he gave probably the same answer he gave you guys, and that's hey, we've had discussions, we're staying in touch with him. He's not in any hurry to do anything right now. So we'll just keep monitoring that situation and see how that goes. And, and then talk, obviously about the 50-year options that they've had decisions on last year, not picking up Conklin this year and not picking up Corey Davis, but picking up Adoree Jackson. And he pointed to the fact that, hey, the dollars were different. Each position has it, brings a different dollar value and where those players are at. And that was kind of why they made the decision with Adoree and not with Corey Davis. So there was other things, but those were a couple of things that stood out.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara from over at WNML in Knoxville. So, Vince, I know here in the coming days, athletic directors, I think, from the SEC are going to vote on whether to open up facilities, I think, June 1st, or maybe even push it back to June 8th or June 15th. And it does bring up a question in my mind. You know, what's safer for a college athlete at this point? And I feel like, I think, if the news continues to be encouraging over the next week or two, I think you can do it. But I thought about this a lot. What's safer for a college football player? Going to work at the facility with the measures being taken that you should be taking with distancing and all of that? Or going to Vinny's Workout World in Oak Ridge, or whatever? So what do you think is going to happen there? What are you hearing? And do you feel like, we're going to start seeing some college kids start working out as a group, small groups or something like that around June 1st?
I'd go to Vinny's Workout World, just so you know.
I was going to say, don't sleep on Vinny's Workout World. They're taking all the precautions. Buff is all get out,
I feel like you're going down a dodgeball scene.
I'd go to Vinny. I would go there, too.
You're starting to sound like Ben Stiller. I'm getting – where's this going?
The Italian cafeteria in Vinny's Workout World is insane. No, I understand your point, Willie. And actually, there's already video of guys getting together to work out and kick those weights around. UT and some others put some of that video out. The guys are getting together and doing those workouts. I'm sure that's happening in the NFL. It's happening in college football. But the big thing, I think, the difference would be those are still typically small groups. Are they going to take every precaution of social distancing and all that? It's going to be imperfect. There's no doubt. But when you bring full teams in, now you're talking about getting them into smaller areas, and then you're talking about 100-plus kids plus personnel that needs to be there. That still, to me, looks like it would be one where even if you're taking all the precautions, it be a little bit higher of a risk. Now, fortunately for Tennessee here in Knox County, Friday there were no new cases, despite more people being out and more testing. So the news has been encouraging in the state and in other areas. I think Philip Fulmer was the only one that didn't approve of the June 1st return. I think his was June 15th. And maybe part of that is because, much like with you guys there, Knoxville hasn't opened all the way up yet, like a lot of the other counties around the state. So I don't think they wanted to have that look of, here we go, we're back and ready to go for football, but everybody else, good luck getting back open. So I think he took the conservative approach there. I would take the more conservative approach also in coming back, and if it's 2 weeks, if that makes the difference, then I'm all for that. I'd rather have everybody on board in 2 weeks than have any sort of staggering of it. And I think the SEC will do that and come back all together if possible.
Yeah, good points. I feel like we're going to spend the next few months probably talking about possible scheduling based on the hand we're dealt. And again, all we can do is knock on wood, be hopeful that we continue to get good news and people keep fighting this thing by doing what they can. But all that aside, I think you wrote a blog about the SEC and one way they could go scheduling-wise with a non-game conference schedule? I'm sorry, a nine-game conference schedule?
Yeah, and they're looking into this. This wasn't me just, you know, bored putting it together and saying, hey, this would be great. Jimmy Himes, one of our afternoon hosts, reported that the SEC, one of the many things that they've at least discussed is the possibility if there needs to be an abbreviated college football season, of playing a nine-game schedule, all conference games, and the ninth game being the 2021 crossover game that's already scheduled. So, which would make for some really interesting matchups for Tennessee. The Vols would host Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss to Knoxville this year. He's been back to Neyland Stadium, obviously, as an assistant in Alabama. It'd be his first time as a head coach of another program. Alabama at Florida, Auburn and South Carolina, some nice matchups. And what it does is that it would really change and vary the what the schedules are like in terms of their difficulty. Some teams already have difficult schedules, and you're just piling on. For Arkansas, they have to deal with everybody in the West. They have Tennessee. And now you're adding Georgia, the best team. And Arkansas is on a 19-game SEC losing streak right now. And now you're going to add Georgia to their schedule. And then the team that would have it the worst, guys, is Texas A&M. Texas A&M would be at Missouri. Okay, so you're going to have teams. Some teams are going to play five road games. Some are going to play five home games. Well, in addition to that, since the West teams would be adding the extra road game, this is a year for Texas A&M where their game with Arkansas in Arlington this year is deemed a, air quote, home game for them. So they're playing that home game in Arlington, not at Kyle Field. Texas A&M only has three SEC home games at Kyle Field as it is this year. And then you're adding another road game on top of that, which means out of the nine games that A&M would play in this scenario, they'd only have three at Kyle Field, and they're all in November. So whenever they'd add this extra game with Missouri, whether it's where a non-conference game is right now on the schedule or if it's in the open week, if they do either one of those two, because they don't have any of those in November, you'd be adding that road game to the beginning of the schedule, and they still wouldn't have an SEC home game until November and still only have three total. That's brutal. But this is the times, and this is the imbalance that we're going to get in sports. And the fairness aspect, you got to take a waiver on it, and I know people will still complain about it, but it's going to be some of the things that we're going to see when we get sports back. And who knows how many more of these types of things could happen around college football. But I thought that was an interesting scenario. And in my blog, I list all of those crossover games and other teams that have challenges. I thought it was fascinating that the SEC is considering this type of a model and at least discussing it. Don't know if they're going to put it into place.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML in Knoxville. And Vince, I'm curious of, and you're going to be hosting Middays this week, of just what kind of talk NASCAR is going to get. You're obviously in the footprint of the Bristol Motor Speedway, so there is a, and they're coming there at the end of the month. They're going to make that race up. But with its return yesterday, I'm just curious of the interest level from people in your market.
I think we'll get calls. We have a weekly racing show on Saturday mornings that returned this past Saturday. Dr. Gary Punch, who's spent many years in racing and still brings great insight, does an hour on the afternoon show with us on Monday. So we talk racing, and he takes racing calls during that hour. It's not like it's just crickets and people, you know, want to call about Tennessee football. They still will call and talk to them about it. It's trickled in, I guess, throughout the day typically. Otherwise, it'll be interesting to see today if we'll get more calls on it. I'm guessing it will, because I know a lot of people, myself included, spent more time. I watched the entire race. Sometimes with other things going on, football or baseball or whatever, you don't spend the whole there watching the whole race. So I watched more of it, and I would imagine there were a lot of other people that maybe had more of an interest and were captivated by it. I think this will be a good test study today and moving forward. Obviously, Wednesday they're back at it, Saturday they're back at it. So maybe they'll create more of an audience. But typically we do get some interest. And it would be great for the sport if this gives them a jolt and gets new eyes into the product, even in this market.
And then I know you do an MMA show as well. UFC's been back for a week. They've already had three events in the last 8 days, and I've watched a majority of them. I didn't really see much of Wednesday, but I watched this past weekend. So what's been your take on how the UFC has done everything so far with no fans and having the event in Jacksonville?
Well, Chase, it's a similar model to what NASCAR is doing, right? Three events in 8 days. And NASCAR is similar to that. So I think the biggest takeaway is that they pulled it off and we haven't heard of any incidents. Obviously, there was one fighter that tested a positive for COVID-19. He was removed and that was the biggest thing. That was prior to their event last Saturday. And we didn't hear of anything else before. As long as that continues and none of the whatever new cases of positive tests come up, if none of them are connected back to anyone he may have been in contact with, then it's going to be continued to be viewed as a success. I thought it was very entertaining. Their numbers for last Saturday, I haven't seen for this Saturday, but last Saturday were up. They were good. They had huge pay-per-view buys. It wasn't out of this world in ratings, but I thought they pulled off three very entertaining nights. In the main event, Anthony Smith, who lost to Glover Teixeira on Wednesday's event, he was just getting absolutely bashed. And before the fifth round in the corner, you could hear him say that my teeth are loose, something to that effect. So the guy was just getting battered, and I thought his corner should have ended the fight there. So there was a little bit of controversy there, but really the way they executed it all, the sound of the broadcast, the quality of it, all went really well. I think it was a big win for the UFC, and we'll see where they do the next event, but I thought it was enjoyable to watch as a sports fan and a MMA fan as well.
Wasn't that the fight where the fighter picked up his teeth and handed them to the ref, and everybody thought, what just happened? Because they didn't know he picked up teeth, and they're like, did he just give him a bribe or something? Did he just hand him money? What? And the ref just put something in his pocket. It was his teeth. Was that the fight you were talking about?
I think so. Yeah. I didn't see that, but the one time I was at the mouthpiece and the ref just stuck it back in his mouth, but that's a different.
It was funny because everybody kind of jumped, to the conclusion on Twitter, what did he just hand the ref something he put in his pocket? This fight is fixed. And then of course, the story comes out. Yeah, that was his teeth.
Yeah.
Which gave everybody a good laugh. Vince, good stuff as always. Have some good shows this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
You guys do the same. I always enjoy talking to you. Thanks.
All right, that is Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML, there in Knoxville. He's at Vince Sports on Twitter. Back to wrap up the first hour next.